Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers. And
here he goes. To the 40, the 30, the 20. Touchdown, Brennan.
Let me tell you what happened. I make that ass drop like a sack of potatoes. What crawl on the cracker later?
Freeze.
What's up, everybody? Another Thursday night, another episode of the Southern Sports Wrap with your host, the Zen Man. Got an hour with you guys today, as usual. And it is that time of year where we are talking about only two more teams left the NFL. It is Super Bowl time. Super Bowl starts in 2 weeks. Well, at this point, it's 10 days. What we do have this week is a Pro Bowl. And then after that, we have the Super Bowl. If you don't know already, it is the Giants and the Patriots, the long-awaited rematch, and Tom Brady has another shot at it. So we'll see if that plays a big factor. I personally think the Giants have a shot at winning that game just because they're a better team right now. They really are. The Giants are not the same team they were in the regular season, and they've kind of screwed up everybody's predictions, but it is what it is. Well, let's go to my top stories. First things first. Sure, everybody's heard Joe Paterno died Sunday morning. He was 85 years old, a long, long, long time at Penn State. He died a long battle with lung cancer, and no question, I believe that a lot of stress also from the Jerry Sandusky case didn't help either. I'm sure that had a lot to do with it, and obviously being fired, and it was a really, really bad for him. And, you know, I was worried about his legacy and what this whole case really did to it. But to be honest with you, they held a ceremony today at the Penn State arena. And, wow, there were so many people. I only got a minute to catch it before work, but it was on ESPN for a long time. A lot of people, you could just tell that whole city was behind him. And it was just really nice to see. A huge turnout, and, you know, I wouldn't expect anything less. Paterno finished his career 409 wins, 136 losses, and 3 ties, 24-12-1 in bowl games, 2 national titles in 82 and 86, and he also won 3 Big Ten titles. So just a quick stats on Joe Paterno, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of it on ESPN, so I think the X Games are on right now, but after that, I'm sure you'll hear a lot about it. And it's heartwarming because everything went down, and it's just good to see that the whole city still had his back because, you know, obviously nothing's been proved yet. I don't know what happened, obviously, but I'm not going to get into it. Obviously, Joe Paterno was a great coach, and even a lot of the speeches were even about him being a great person, so it was really nice to see. But moving on, other big news, the Brewers actually I don't know why I brought the Brewers. Obviously, the Brewers had Prince Fielder, but Prince Fielder is not a Brewer anymore. He is with the Detroit Tigers. He joined them a huge trade, 9 years, not trade, but free agent signing for the Tigers, 9 years, $214 million. Prince Fielder said earlier in free agency that he wasn't going back to the Brewers. Not really sure why. Maybe just change of scenery. Brewers are now hurting because they're without Ryan Braun for 50 games. And now without Prince Fielder, that's a huge blow to them. The Tigers were going to be without Victor Martinez for close to half the year at least. So Victor Martinez obviously playing a lot of catcher and DHing. Prince Fielder comes in as a first baseman. Obviously, the Tigers already have the best first baseman in baseball with Miguel Cabrera. Miguel accepted his role to third base already. I don't know if that sounds familiar to anybody, but took Hanley Ramirez close to 2 or 3 weeks to accept his role in third base, and he was playing shortstop. Cabrera said, no problem. He'll move to third base. I would expect to see a lot of DHing between the two. But, I mean, they said he moved to third base. They might just both play on the field. Obviously, both of them, but two of the best hitters in baseball, two of the most out-of-shape people as well. So it just kind of makes sense to have, you know, two of the best, biggest players in baseball playing the same position. You would expect a lot of DHing, but so far it just looks like Cabrera is going to move over to third base. And that team just got really, really strong. Obviously, their pitching is fantastic. So obviously, they're my early prediction to make it to the World Series. I don't see any other changes that would tell me otherwise. So look for that. If they're healthy, I see them winning a lot of games. Moving on to NBA, LeBron James showing some clutchness last night. I don't know if that's a word, but I made it up. Clutchness, possessing clutch qualities, something that LeBron James has been known to not have, I suppose. But last night, going 6-for-6 in free throws in the final minute. From the foul line, they were down, and they ended up winning by 3, I believe. So, obviously, the free throws were huge, and he came down good in the stretch. Cam Newton and Matthew Stafford are going to go to the Pro Bowl after Brady and Eli reach the Super Bowl. Obviously, anybody who makes the Pro Bowl and ends up also making the Super Bowl don't go to the Pro Bowl anymore, and you know, the new players get picked. So good for Stafford and good for Cam Newton. Cam Newton, a little surprising, but I guess he's deserved as anybody. He had a huge year. Not even for a rookie, as just a player, period. So just the fact that he made a Pro Bowl kind of tells you, as a rookie, how much impact he made this year. The NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, gets extension through 2018 for the NFL season. So I don't know if that's a great thing or not, but I guess we're going to have him for a little bit longer. Dwayne Wade has been out for over a week now with an ankle injury. LeBron and Bosch are now the highest scoring duo in the NBA, averaging over 50 points a game. I believe they had around 60 last night. So Bosch definitely steps up. I mean, everybody says he doesn't step up. What do you expect? You know, you have LeBron James and Dwayne Wade on your team. You expect 30 from them every night, but you're not going to get 30 from each one of them every night. Someone's going to be that man out. It seems to be Bosch a lot. But you see when one of those players are out, he usually steps up. He's been scoring 30 a game a lot this year now because of a few injuries. So it's good to see that. Obviously, you know, that's the one worry we have is injuries. But if we can prove and practice without one of our big stars, it's only going to make us stronger. So it's good to see. A lot of talks about Peyton Manning heating up. A lot of talk about him not being in a Colts uniform next year. I heard one person say that he could be going to Miami. I don't know. Miami is notorious for making moves like this. The Colts, I don't understand. Peyton said, obviously, with the new coach, new GM, and just the facilities are not the way he remembered it. It was just a bad environment for him. Obviously, he's still healing from his neck injury. It's sad because, you know what, Peyton has given everything to that franchise, and I think one of the best quarterbacks by far. I mean, he's top three in my mind of all time. And just the way that they're going along with this, I mean, they're going to have to pay him, I believe, $28 million for a bonus if he stays. But the guy has given you everything. I mean, what else? You know, I don't know. You just saw what happens to a team without him. You know, could have gone 0-16. I think they won two games. And it's just, they're not handling the situation right. They're automatically going to Andrew Luck. They have everything perfect right now. You know, they can have Peyton Manning for two more years. Andrew Luck, so what, he sits for 2 years. You know what, when he comes back that third year, he's going to be even better. Playing behind Peyton, are you kidding me? And I don't understand what they're doing, but a lot of talk says he's not going to be in Andy anymore, so look for him to be traded, or not traded, we'll sign somewhere else, I suppose. So we'll see what happens with that. Tony La Russa is actually going to coach the 2012 All-Star NL team. He retired, but as you know, the coaches that go to the World Series the year before always coach their respective conferences or leagues in the next All-Star game. So La Russa is retired, but since he coached in the World Series, he accepted his role for the All-Star game this year. So I guess it's kind of cool. Talk a little NBA. What a game tonight. I was telling my coworker at Sports Fanatic that the Boston seems to play every Thursday night, and we always work Thursday night, and the Boston usually gets pounded. Well, they always come back. Last week they were down 30 points or 25 points, and then they got it back to within four, but then they ended up losing. They were down 27 points today, and they won by 8. Celtics win 91-83. What a comeback this was. 27 points down. They outscored Orlando 27-8 in the fourth quarter. Orlando 8 points in the fourth. I don't even know how to explain this. It was, I believe at halftime, it was 58-37. And Boston ends up coming back from 27 down to win by 8 points. So big game for them. Paul Pierce, 24 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists. Dwight Howard, 16-16. The usual, I suppose. What a game, though. That's a comeback you don't see too often. And you can see him come back. I mean, I've seen Boston make some games out of these blowouts that they seem to start off with. But to win by 8, I was shocked. They were having to come back when I left work. And I looked at the score when I got on the computer. And that's amazing. So that was one game. The only other game today was Memphis and Clippers. And so far, 6 minutes in the first quarter, Clippers are up 9-6. Clippers and the Lakers playing last night at Staples, and the Lakers winning that game. Last night, it seemed to get pretty chippy. I don't really understand. Matt Barnes was kind of creating some havoc. These guys are professionals, and I don't understand. You know, I don't live with Blake Griffin. I don't live with Chris Paul. I don't know how these players are. But, I mean, come on now. Blake Griffin's a pretty, solid guy. Like, he's not going to start stuff. And it seems like the Lakers have to be all physical and, you know, knocking people to the ground, starting fights. It's just like, you know, these guys, I don't know if they're self-conscious about not being the best team in L.A. anymore. I don't know if it's really getting to them that bad that they can't play harder or practice harder. They got to start stupid fights. I don't know what it is. The worst part is world peace is actually creating, havoc. I don't know if that makes any sense, but if you have peace in your name, you shouldn't be so angry. Lakers won last night. Let's talk about the standings really quick. I have been busy. I still follow sports, obviously, but one thing that really shocked me recently that I really didn't follow up on, I'm going to move to the conference standings here. The Bulls are having a tremendous year. Chicago is 16-4. They have a two-game lead over the Heat. The Heat are back to the second seed in the East. They won two in a row. Indiana, surprisingly, at number 3. They're 12-5. And Philadelphia, at number 4, 12-6. It's a great story, to be honest with you. I remember seeing, I think I said this last week, you go to ESPN.com and you see a bunch of different things. And they had the, I don't know, what's the division called? Yeah, they had the Atlantic division in the Eastern Conference. You know, it has Philly, Boston, New York, New Jersey, Toronto. And they all had their picks. who would win the division now. It was all everybody. I think it was 50 picks. I think between 49 picks, it was between either the Celtics or the Knicks. And one person picked Philly. And Philly already, with 18 games in, has a 3.5-game lead over Boston. Boston and New York both under 500. Unbelievable. Philly's playing great. And I don't think it's a fluke. Boston is old as hell. And I know they've been without Rondo for a few games, but they were playing shit really bad before that. New York, 7-11. They're playing really, really bad. I don't know. It's the same. Well, it's not quite the same as the big three, Miami, creating chemistry and working things out. They still aren't perfect, but they're getting really, really good. Obviously, they're pretty good. New York Knicks, I don't know if they're still trying to find that chemistry. Their big three kind of fizzled. It's only the big two now with Amari and Melo. I think they kind of added another third one there with Tyson Chandler. He's playing a tremendous this year. I don't know if it's chemistry. I don't know what it is. I think they need a point guard. I think they're struggling. I think Mike Bibby's like their main point guard. Tony Douglas, I don't know who it is, but they need somebody to step up. 7-11 is not good. But that's where they are to start the season. Going to the Central Division, Chicago leading Indiana by 2.5 games. And in the Southeast, Miami, Atlanta, Orlando, really close. Miami has a half game lead above Atlanta. Orlando has gets a game back. Let's go to the Western Conference. OKC, I think we'll run away with this conference. I don't see any reason to believe not. Oklahoma City 15-3. Surprisingly, Denver is number 2 at 13-5. Then San Antonio playing. I don't want to say it's surprising to some teams, but definitely still surprising because without Ginobili for 6 or 7 weeks, that's their anchor. And if he's not in there, I'm not saying Duncan and Parker can't hold it down, but they're getting old. But they're playing great ball, 12-7. Clippers at number 4, 9-6. Utah 10-6 at number 5. Memphis 10-7 at number 6. And there the Lakers are tied with Portland. They have the 7th seed. Portland has the 8th seed. And then Dallas, 3-way tie there, all 3-11-8. Dallas, as of right now, is not in the playoffs. I do think they'll get in. And Minnesota is making a quiet run. They're only 3.5 games out of the playoffs. 2.5 games out. I'm not saying that we're near playoff time by any means, but just to give you guys an idea, I know we're only about 15 to 20 games into the season, but in this year, that's technically a third of the way in, so we'll see how that winds down. It should be interesting. This is a really interesting year. I don't want to hear any complaining. To be honest with you, I think we all thought there wasn't going to be a season at all. And to have a 66-game season is pretty generous. I will say the upside and the downside of this, the upside definitely is kind of, not quite like baseball, but it's getting there. Like there's almost a game every night. So it's fantastic. You see 3 or 4 heat games in a week. That's awesome, you know. But at the same time, I have these ESPN updates on my phone, and I will say that there's a lot of injuries this year. And it's completely directed to just, you know, not much preseason, and a lot of players are, you know, not fully in game shape. And a lot of playing, too. So, you know, that's definitely created some injuries. So it's not a good thing. I mean, there's a lot of injuries. At least 2 a day pop on my phone, and they're decent players, and it's just kind of crazy, but it is what it is. And so that's how the basketball's looking. Tomorrow, see what games we have going on tomorrow. I believe the Heat play. Let's move into Friday. Bobcats at the 76ers, Pacers at Celtics, Hawks at Pistons, Nets at Cavaliers, Magic at Hornets, Bucks at Bulls, and the Knicks at the Heat. That'll be a fun game. I mean, obviously the Knicks-Heat, not the same rivalry it used to be, but I guess sort of renewed. The Knicks obviously not doing great this year, but should be a fun game. 4 of the first, Yeah, I'm trying to think. In the 03 draft, Bosch was picked. I think Bosch was picked number 5. If he was picked number 6, and that still four of the top 6 picks in that draft were really going to be in this game with Wade, Bosch, LeBron, and Melo. Just something fun to look at. Wizards at Rockets, Spurs at Timberwolves. That should be a fun game. T-Wolves playing great. Jazz at Mavericks, Suns at Blazers, Raptors at Nuggets, and Thunders at Warriors. That is your games tomorrow. And just moving on with some more news. I guess we'll do my weekly roundup of the NHL. I'm sorry if I don't have any actual news for you about the NHL. I'm just, you know, let's face it, I'm never going to really follow it too much. But I do like to look at the standings. And I'm eyeballing on those Panthers, man. I really want them to make the playoffs. They seem to lose a lot of shootouts, which is irritating me. This is like the AFC West of the NHL. Like, all those teams, I don't know if they – I'm not saying that they suck, but they're not – 22-15, they just – you can see, like, the top three leaders – well, there's three divisions – the leaders of the divisions automatically get the 1-2-3. By that, I mean the team that's in ninth place, the Toronto Maple Leafs, had 55 points, as do the number 3 seed, the Washington Capitals. But because the Washington Capitals are in a division and they're leading that division, they get that third seed. So it's going to be very important for the Panthers. They're actually tied. Panthers have 55 points as well. So hopefully they can – it's a great opportunity for them to – just, you know, finish out the year strong. They're obviously playing well. I mean, to get to shootouts means you're playing. They're just, you know, they're not doing well in the shootouts, I guess. But I would like to see them make the playoffs. I think they'll make it either way. But like I said, they're 1 point away from being in the third seed, but they're also 1 point away from being in the ninth seed. So it can go a lot of ways from here. But let's just hope they make it in. Just really quick, the Eastern Conference looks like this. The Rangers at 66 points. Leading the way, the Bruins at 64. Like I said, the Capitals at 55. The Philadelphia Flyers with 63 points. Pittsburgh, 60. Also with 60 at number 6 is Ottawa. And then I said Florida was number 7 with 55 points. The Devils, 55 points as well. That rounds up your playoffs. Toronto also with 55 points. And then below them is Winnipeg with 50. And the Western Conference, the Red Wings are number 1. Followed by Vancouver at 64 points, Detroit at 67. San Jose at number 3 has 60 points. The St. Louis Blues with 65. They're having a good year. Nashville, 64 points. Chicago Blackhawks, number 6 with 64 points. Los Angeles Kings with 58. And at number 8, the Minnesota Wild with 55 points. Colorado and has 54. Dallas, Calgary, and Phoenix both right behind them with 52. So for all you hockey fans out there that possibly are listening in and don't know the standings, there you go. Nah, the Zen Man feels better when he gets all the sports in, because I do feel like it's an equal sport, just not as fan favorite. But all is well. I just feel like I should definitely get it in there. Moving on, I guess, well, first off, I just want to say if you want to call in, the number to call in is 347-215-9420. Just talk about anything about sports. I don't care. Whatever's on your mind, I'll give you my honest opinion about anything. Feel free to call in. You know, anything you want to talk about sports, just let me know. I'd be happy to chat it up. I can pretty much relate or talk about anything. Let's move on really quick to football. Might as well. I might as well talk about the Pro Bowl. I will be honest about one thing. I don't know for a fact if Stafford made it, but I'm just using my common sense and saying that he did. because I know Eli Manning went to the Super Bowl. I heard that Cam made it, and I feel like I should double check because now I'm curious. But let's look at the rosters. If they have him, possibly. Ah, here it is. All right. Wow, this is actually kind of interesting. I really didn't think about it. Cam Newton, I said, made it. The Stafford and Cam are both in the NFC. I suppose Cam made it and Stafford didn't. I don't know what's up with that. Then I don't know who made it in the AFC. I guess I got to look at that. But that's very, very interesting. But I'm going to – so I don't know. I guess Stafford did make it. My mistake. That's why I check it out. I don't know why he made it. Stafford had a tremendous year. He had over 5,000 yards passing. There may be something else that why he didn't play. I don't know. But Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and Cam Newton are the quarterbacks. Like I said, Eli Manning made it as well, but he's in the Super Bowl. Running backs, looks like LeSean McCoy is a starter, followed by Matt Forte, who will not play, and Frank Gore, who should play, fullback Michael Robinson, John Kuhn. Wide receivers, looks like Larry Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson. Your backups, Greg Jennings, Roddy White, and Steve Smith. Tight ends, Jimmy Graham and Tony Gonzalez. I would go through the guards, but I just honestly don't feel it's necessary. Let me check out the AFC real quick. Somebody had to have made it. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. Andy Dalton made it to the Pro Bowl. Huh. Well, as you see, Tom Brady obviously made the Pro Bowl, but he's not going to play. So your quarterbacks are like this. Big Ben. Roethlisberger is, I guess, a starter. And then Phillip Rivers and Andy Dalton. That's awesome. Good for him. Had a great year. It's cool that they kind of put in the two best rookies, so that's cool. Running backs, Ray Rice with Maurice Jones-Drew, Arian Foster, and Ryan Matthews. I guess there's four. Wide receivers, Mike Wallace and Brandon Marshall, followed by Vincent Jackson, Wes Welker, who will not play, obviously. AJ Green made it. Excuse me, guys. And Matthew Slater. Tight ends, Antonio Gates, Jermaine Grisham, and Rob Gronkowski. Gronkowski obviously not going to play. Jake Long made it as a backup tackle. No. Yeah, I guess he is a backup tackle. And the rest are offense. I guess I can move to the defense real quick just because I'm curious. And the defense in the NFC, Patrick Willis, Brian Urlacher, Chad Greenway, and London Fletcher are all linebackers. That's good that London Fletcher made it. I heard that he didn't, but I guess they added him. Linebackers, DeMarcus Ware and Lance Brace also making it, and Clay Matthews, cornerback Charles Wilson and Charles Tillman, Jared Allen, Jason Pierre-Paul, Justice Smith, B.J. Raji, Jay Ratliff, Jason Babe, and Julius Peppers are also on the defensive side. And really quick, I guess I'll just run down the AFC defense. If y'all are interested, it's short. Strong safety, Troy Polamalu. False safety, Ed Freed, Eric Weddle. Linebackers, Ray Lewis, Derek Johnson, Vaughn Miller, James Harrison, Terrell Suggs, and Tamba Haley. Cornerback, Champ Bailey, Darrell Revis, and Jonathan Joseph. Defensive end, Dwight Freeney, Andre Carter, tackles, Haloti Ngata, Geno Atkins, Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork, Elvis Dumervil, and Antonio Smith. So that is there. I guess, I don't know, does anybody want to hear the special teams? Might as well. I'm not going to go into the full thing. Special teams, for the AFC, Sebastian Janikowski is the kicker, and Shane Lechler is the punter. Kick returner, Antonio Brown, and Matthew Slater. Punt returner is Antonio Brown. NFC, David Akers is the kicker. Andy Lee, the punter. Kick returner, Patrick Peterson. Punt returner, Patrick Peterson. No surprise there. Had a monster game. I hope you all know who Patrick Peterson is. He had just an amazing year. I believe he is a rookie. Here's one play.
Good high kick. Peterson looks around. Backpedals, takes it at the two. Trying to get outside. Turns it upfield. Patrick Peterson gets by the punter. Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it for the Cardinals. The incredible rookie, Patrick Peterson, with his third punt return for a touchdown this season. That one, 99 yards.
On that note, it is time for... for the Southern Sports Wrap stat of the week, and today I'm going more interesting than relative. How about the Trinity College men's squash team? This was January 18th of 2012. They had a 252 match streak. Started in 1998. They haven't lost one game in 14 years. And it looks like Yale's squash team beat them, the Trinity Bantams, by a 15-4 or 5-4 win. Their first loss in 14 years, 252 matches. That's just a crazy stat. Those are just streaks that you don't really hear too much. I know it's squash, but even squash, I mean when you look at basketball, you don't really see too many streaks, but at least there's a size advantage or something. Squash, I don't even know how. I mean, you can be good, but you think eventually, between 14 years, you lose once. But I hope you guys enjoyed that stat. I did. It was actually pretty interesting. I think they said Tim Tebow was like 10 years old when it happened. I don't know, something crazy like that. Anyways, moving on to football. Might as well talk about what happened last Sunday, because I was totally wrong. I don't want to say, I mean, I wasn't way off or anything. I had who would win wrong for sure, but I definitely predicted some close games, just not the same outcome. So let's talk about the first game that went on, which was the Ravens and Patriots. Really unhappy about this game. I'm a huge sports fan, so obviously I get into these games. I know I'm not a, you know, I'm a Dolphin fan to heart. It's just, you know, no problem. But I was rooting for the Ravens. I've been to a Ravens game. You know, I have a couple of really good friends that are huge Ravens fans. Season tickets. I hate the Patriots with passion. I really wanted the Ravens to win. I like their team. And I had them, you know, other reasons than that. I had them picked in my pool. Had money on them. I just really, they had it. I've been saying it to everybody. I mean, I had pride on it. I was like, you know, look, I said that the Ravens are going to win. So I wanted to, you know, knew what I was talking about. Obviously, it was a really close game. 23-20. Patriots win. just not cool. Not cool. The Ravens had it, man. They played. I mean, this game went down like how I thought it would. Ravens just not finishing it. I mean, that's what happens when you're down late in the game. They made the plays. It was the worst part. With, I think, with 2 minutes left, and not even Flacco went all the way down the field. He threw a touchdown pass. The guy had it in his hands, and a quick swipe of the defensive end. Excuse me, defensive back, and knocked the ball out. But still, they settled for a field goal, 30 yards, and he bowled it wide left, wide right, wide left. I guess depending on what way you're looking at it. Either way, he missed a 30-yard field goal, and sealed it. Billy Cundiff, it just happens. I'm sure there was a little nerves going on, but that would have tied the game. Previous possession from the Ravens, they were down three again, and they had a 49-yard attempt. And instead of kicking the field goal and tying it up, which I know, you know, we don't always agree with a lot of things going on, but that was a bonehead call. I don't know what they were thinking. You don't go for it on 4th and 6 when you have a 49-yard field goal attempt possible down by 3 with 3 minutes left, and they didn't. They went for it, missed it. Had the ball back and still had every opportunity to win the game. Just Patriots stepped up, and they're going to the Super Bowl. Just quick numbers. Tom Brady didn't play too hot. 239, no touchdowns, 2 picks. Green Ellis, a.k.a. the law firm, courtesy of Evil Rob there, giving him the beautiful nickname. 68 yards, 1 touchdown. Woodhead, 18. Hernandez still had 3 rushing attempts. I don't understand why he's rushing the ball. I'm just baffled that he's still rushing the ball, but whatever. The tight end Hernandez definitely will not be rushing the ball in the Super Bowl because Gronkowski had a big game, 87 yards. He's hurt. He hurt his ankle, but he has 2 weeks to recover, so I don't know. He'll play, but I don't know how effective he's going to be. Flacco for the Ravens, 306 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. Ray Rice, 67 yards. Flacco, 27 rushing. Ricky Williams, 22 yards rushing. Anquan Boldin, 101 yards. Torrey Smith, 82 and 1 touchdown. And Pitta with 41 and 1 touchdown. Lee Evans, 39 yards. And, it was a bad pick. Patriots obviously are a great team, and they were at home, but I thought the Ravens were a much more complete team, and it just didn't happen to them. So, I don't know, man. The Ravens, they should all come back to next year. So, I think they'll be a better team. So, they're still my early pick to win it next year, but we'll see what happens. Let's talk about the other teams. Let's talk about the teams that are left, obviously, and get ready for the Super Bowl. Other teams that played that night, San Francisco and New York. The Giants, that is. The Jets would never get this far. Actually, they have gone this far twice. I don't know how. But not this year. They're for a horrible. Give me 1 second, guys. I keep going to NFL.com to find these scores, and these commercials keep coming up, and they're driving crazy. This was a great game. I respect a great game, even though what I wanted didn't happen. I really didn't care, honestly, at this point, who won. But truthfully, I was rooting for the 49ers. Giants win 20-17 in overtime. What a game. Everything on the line, and it was just a fantastic game. Eli Manning is just playing amazing. Alex Smith, 196, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Eli, 32 of 58, 316, and 2 touchdowns. Alex Smith, only 12 completions. Eli, 32. Bradshaw, 74 yards rushing. Jacobs, not too much, 13 yards. Frank Gore has 74 yards for the 49ers. Alex Smith, 42 yards rushing. Vernon Davis coming through again for the Niners. He had 412 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had a 73-yard one. That was a great play. He you know, every once in a while you get a guy going across the outside, catching a deep pass and running 50 yards, but that you don't. I have never seen that with a tight end. Vernon Davis did that, and he outran everybody. It's crazy. Really athletic. Although he did get a penalty for excessive celebration. I think he stood up on top of the camera. I don't know what he did. Frank Gore, 45 yards receiving on that end. Let's talk about the Giants receiving core. That is Victor Cruz coming through, 142 yards on 10 receptions. Had a great second half, or first half, excuse me. I believe he didn't even have any yards in the second half. I think that's a correct statement. He had 142 in the first half. That's ridiculous. And I don't know if they were just locking him down in the second half. That's for sure. I'm sure that's what they were talking about and planning during the halftime break. Hakeem Nicks, who's been carrying him this far, 55 yards. Bradshaw, 52. And crazy game. I have one of those plays in my top three coming up soon. And I don't know. The Niners had it. The Giants just kept playing. And I don't know how else to really say this, but shit just went their way. Like, and, you know, it happens when they play. When you play hard, things get easier. And the Giants would just kept coming. Wow, two bad plays. By Williams, had two lost fumbles, both on returning kicks. One, I don't even know what he was thinking. The ball was rolling, and he decided to back off from it, and it hit his knee. And the guy from the Giants just picked it up around it, and ended up not being a touchdown because of being ruled the other way. But they still got the ball and ended up scoring. And then couldn't have done it at a more worse time, doing it in an overtime, which set up the Giants for a field goal. Just horrible play by him. His teammates picked him up, told him, try it. I don't think they were too hard on him, but obviously those two fumbles were the game. I mean, when you set up a team in their own 30, 40-yard line, they're going to get points, and you can't give them points when you're in sudden death mode in the overtime, so... That was honestly the reason I think the Giants won, but give them credit. They played hard, and that's what happens. So the Giants and the Patriots are going to rematch. 07 was the last game they played. Still had Eli Manning. Still had Tom Brady. So it's going to be a great rematch, I think. A lot of people are picking the Patriots. I don't know, man, to be honest with you. The Giants are playing at such a high level right now. They win, dude. I mean, they already beat the 49ers and the Packers on the road. You don't just do that 2 weeks in a row and, not be able to compete with the Patriots. Come on now. I mean, talk about the Packers. Let's not forget the Packers. I don't know what to talk about now, but, dude, they were the team to talk about all year long. And the Giants just went into Lambeau and showed them up. And then you go on the 49ers and you beat them. Two incredibly hard games to play on the road. How are they not the favorites to win the Super Bowl? I don't know. To be honest with you, they're a tough team. I don't care how much motivation Tom Brady has to want to, get a second chance to beat Eli and the Giants. You still have to beat the Giants, and this is going to be a tough game for them, honestly. I've said it all year long, and I'll say it again. I know that the Patriots are in the Super Bowl, but they're still not a complete team. They're outstanding on offense, but with the injury to Gronkowski, I know that they still have Aaron Hernandez, but it's still not without Gronkowski. It's still one more weapon that they don't have. I mean, they don't really play both of them at the same time anyway, so... It's just one more weapon he doesn't have. He still have a great receiving core, but I the defense still questionable. I think the Giants just have too much right now, way too much confidence, and And I mean, it's a good thing. They don't have too much confidence, but they have so much. And I just think the Giants are going to win this one. Pro Bowl is next week, and the Super Bowl is in Indianapolis. So it's going to be fun. I hope you guys – I don't know if you guys recall, I went to a Pro Bowl once. That was the one year it was in Miami. I dropped my phone and my beer. That was fun. But so that was cool. And, yeah, man, I think it'll be fun, Pro Bowl. But I don't know if I like the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl. It's kind of weird. It's like you have the most lackadaisical game right before the most important game. It's just like a weird setup, I guess. You start watching that, and you're like, all right, season's over. Let's just have one last game. Then you forget the Super Bowl, which is right there. It's kind of weird. I think they should either have it in the middle of the year or how they used to do it the week after the Super Bowl. It's already going to be unimportant. It means nothing. It's fun in the NBA, you know, hey, they have all these events. It's really cool. And baseball means something. You know, the winner of the All-Star game in baseball, whichever side wins, gets home field in the World Series, which is kind of cool. And football just means nothing. And I don't know if that's why they put it a week for the Super Bowl to try to make it mean something, but it still doesn't. I don't know. I just think leave it to the end of the season. It's just something kind of cool to watch. I think then it's more important because then it's the last game. Like, I think you watch the Super Bowl and you think, all right, it's over. And, yeah, like, I don't know. I just think there's a lot more benefits to having it at the last game of the year, I think, as well as just leaving on a good note. Like, I know if your team loses and you're really upset, you watch the Pro Bowl and you're like, all right, well, it kind of calms you down a little bit. Maybe you see your players play, and it gives a chance for all the players to play and not just the players that don't make the Super Bowl. I don't know. I'm kind of like rambling, like it's my final thought. But that's how I feel about it. Oh, the Super Bowl coming up. I don't know the spread. I'm sure. I don't even know. That's going to be interesting. I don't know if they have the spread. I don't know who's. Man, I would say the Patriots have to be favored. I don't know. I'm just really curious on what the spread is. Let's see. Let's see. I have one stat saying that it's, yeah, I think Patriots are favored by 3. Interesting. It's just one of those things where you have to favor them, I guess. But guys, coming from me, it's going to be a really close game. So it's going to be a fun Super Bowl. Come on. Someone like me, I'm obviously going to watch the game for the game. I know all you people want to watch it for the Super Bowl or for the commercials. I understand. They have some really good ones. But that is my Super Bowl prediction is going to be the Giants winning by 3 points, 30-27. That's what I'm sticking to. I think Lauren Tynes will get his game-winning field goal. And I think it will be with less than 20 seconds on the clock, maybe with time expires. But that's my prediction. And my Super Bowl commercial prediction is that Bud Light will have the funniest commercial. Nah, that's really not a prediction. That's kind of obvious. Well, I don't know. I think the commercials have kind of slipped down a little bit since the years. I remember them being more funny like 5 or 10 years ago. But enough of that. I know you guys want to get to my top 3 plays. Without further ado, here's play number 3. More for its importance, I guess, but if you're a Giants fan, you sure love this play.
The tackle into the quarterback. He does the same thing with Deal. They're on third down. Weatherford hits it. Kyle Williams lost the ball. It's recovered by the Giants. Jaquan Williams, the rookie, knocked it out. Recovered by Devin Thomas. And the second-year receiver, punt returner Kyle Williams with no Ted Ginn Jr., available because of a knee.
That's a good point they made. Ted Ginn usually is a kick returner for them. And a knee injury, so they had Williams in there, and he did not play good at all. But without further ado, here's my play number two of the week.
Their only lead, the Timberwolves tonight, was at 2-0, trying to win it here.
Love! Got it! Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Is that great basketball or what? What a great win for Minnesota.
This crowd is stunned. Kevin Love with a game-winning three as the Timberwolves rally from 15 down and defeat the Clippers here in Los Angeles.
Timberwolves is one of those teams. I mean, I'm always a diehard South Florida fan, but there's always those teams that I root for. I know I like the Timberwolves. One of my good friends, Brandon, a.k.a. Lazy B, used to be a co-host on my show. He's a huge Minnesota fan. I respect it. And I like their players. Kevin Love, can't say enough about what he did. Late draft pick, has turned into just a superstar in the NBA. The best rebounder, I think. And with the addition of Ricky Rubio, that team is really starting to turn into something. So I really think they're going to make the playoffs. That is one of my bold predictions of the year. Great for a win for them. I believe it was last night or two nights ago when they beat the Mavericks by a good margin. It was at Dallas. They did it. They gave the rings out from winning the championship out that night. They did it against Minnesota so that they can give the ring to Barea, J.J. Barea, because he plays for the T-Wolves. So ring ceremony, I guess, a good thing, but they did not win. Dirk's been out for a week now, resting his knee or something. I don't know. He might return this week. But without go for the Timberwolves, and here is my top play of the week. Enjoy.
Hurry. Well, you knew he was going to get it. He breaks it down. We'll leave it up to Rivers down the lane. Got it! 4.9 seconds left. What a clutch drive. Lauf. Mayer.
Oh!
Got it!
Oh! Oh!
He made
man.
It! Snare hits the three. Now they'll go to the replay to check this, but it looked like he got it off in time. And Mike Krzyzewski already congratulating Leonard Hamilton.
Yeah, that was a crazy game. College basketball, you know, I don't watch it that often, but there's some really electrifying games. I mean, FSU, I do follow it enough. FSU isn't even ranked, but in the ACC, they've beaten Duke and North Carolina already this year in pretty dramatic fashion. They beat North Carolina by 33 points. And that was at home. And then they beat Duke on the road by three. That was a game-winning shot by them. It was just crazy. Really cool to see. I don't know if Florida State's ranked yet, to be honest with you. But I'm going to pull up the standings right now on as well. I had to check, see if FSU is ranked. They had some impressive wins. And here are your rankings right now. Kentucky at number – let's go down to Florida State. They are ranked at number 23. They're 13-6. And they're ranked. Top 10 goes like this. Kentucky, 19-1. Missouri, 18-1. Syracuse, number 3, 20-1. Ohio State, 17-3. Kansas at 16-3. Baylor at number 6, 17-2. North Carolina and Duke both tied at 16-3. Atlanta at number 7, Duke at number 8, Georgetown at number 9 at 16-3, and Michigan State 16-4. And there is the lonely Murray State, the only undefeated team in basketball. They're 20-0. I love seeing this. It's awesome. 20-0. In basketball, obviously, top 65. I don't even know what it is anymore. It's like top 66 teams make the big dance. So, they're in, but it'd be cool to see how far up they can climb the ladder if they keep winning. But that is your Murray State update of the week. And with that, I guess I'll just go into my final thought. And that is going to be about the upcoming game with the, I believe it's on Sunday, Heat Bulls. I don't know if the Heat are going to have Wade back by then. What's today? Thursday? I don't know if they're going to have him back. If not, either way, I think the Heat really blow them out. I do. I know the Heat have not really struggled, but they have been playing like they should. They had three losses last week on the West Coast, and they've been winning some close ones. Like last night against the Pistons, they won by like 3 points. I know they landed at like 4 a.m., but still, the Pistons are nobody. I really don't think that it should have been that close. But I believe they're going to come out with the same intensity against Dallas they had the first game of the year. They're going to come out with Sunday. And truthfully, the Bulls are looking good. They're kind of stealing the Thunder away. And not that it's going to be more of a pride thing. It's just going to be the Heat know that they're the best team in the NBA, and the record doesn't show it. And one of the teams that's preventing that from happening is the Bulls. I know either way, they're both going to make the playoffs, and they're both going to probably face each other. But the Heat still, I mean, it's only a 66-game season, but there's still time left, obviously, to get the number one seed. Bulls jumping up to a fast start, but I think the Heat just need to prove it to themselves that they're a better team. I know they know it, but let's face it, the Bulls have had a better record almost all year. I think they're really going to be pumped and ready to play. And I predict, either way, if Wade plays or not, if Wade doesn't play, I'm sure Bosh and James will have 30 points each. And I believe that that'll be good. Just really quick news. There's other thoughts about the Heat. Mike Miller has really shined. There was a lot of news about him earlier before the year started that they might cut him. At least I heard that they could. I don't know. I heard it because of the salary cap, whatever. He was said to be out for a while. I mean, he's already back, and he's already playing at a high level. I'm really surprised at that. I mean, I know he's in the NBA, but you see players come back. But, you know, he's playing great. I think his first game back, he was 6-for-6 from three-point land. Really glad to have him back. And the Heat, I don't know. It's just because I'm 6-6 game is still a lot, but you know, the Bulls, they can only beat the Bulls so many times. There's only so many games against them. You know, the Bulls are still the second-best team in the East, if that. So, record-wise, I think it's going to be a really close match. That's the only thing I'm worried about. I think the Heat may not get the number one seed in the East, but if they do, either way, I think the Heat are going to go to the finals and win. It's not being a Heat fan. It's just being a realist and how close they got last year and how much better they are this year, so. That's my final just random Heat thought. And with that, I'm going to sign out just really quick. Join me this weekend. I've been having some NFL shows just every weekend. Talking about the playoffs. I guess I'll have one this weekend. I don't know. I guess I'll maybe have one after the Pro Bowl. Just look out for it. I'll post it on Facebook. Definitely have a show this weekend. Hopefully Evil Rob will join me. I think me and Evil Rob have a good chemistry going on with football talk, so he's very eager to get on, and we always have some good discussions. Just want to just really quick give a 10-second silence for Joe Paterno, and yeah, it's 10 seconds for him. And with that, make sure you join the same radio station, Super Show Radio. Join us Tuesday night. It will be Captain Frank Dredd, his trusty first mate, Ken, and Evil Rob will be talking about sports. Always a great show to listen to. Very organized. And can't go wrong with three voices out there talking about the same subject. So definitely look forward to that. At least try it out. I think you'll like it. And make sure to join me every Thursday night at 11 o'clock for the Sumo Sports Wrap. Hope you guys had a great time listening in. And with that, I'm going to say good night. Enjoy the Pro Bowl. And I'll see you guys next week to discuss the Super Bowl. Stay safe. And congratulations to Giants fans and Patriots fans. Well-deserved, and I look forward to seeing you guys in the Super Bowl. And I'm going to say good night, and Zen Man signing off. Peace, guys.
I am officially retiring from the NFL and Green Bay Packers.
And here we go. To the 40, the 30, the 20. Touchdown, Prince.
Let me tell you what happened. I make that ass drop like a sack of potatoes. What grill on the crack-a-later?
Freeze.